the boards. It comes up on the wing. A long lead pass for Matthews. Matthews is in alone. Scores! Holy mackerel! Big Pappy has given the Leafs the lead. 7:54 to go. What a play!
You know, Austin, you know, goal with two assists, and he's all over the stat sheet tonight in so many regards. He's affecting the game positively for us. But to me, just the way he worked, where he competed, he was hard, physical, you know, winning puck battles all over the ice. And I would say the same thing about Bert and Domi. Yeah, really good. That was a huge goal by Max. Great pass, you know, to find Austin in the manner that he did. That's big time stuff, the way those guys connected there and the finish. It was really great. So, yeah, I love that line. I guess I loved a lot about our game here tonight, all the way through the lineup.
At 5-9 in the Van, Ben Ennis, Brent Gunning. There was a lot to love about the Toronto Maple Leafs 3-2 victory in Boston over the Bruins, even this series at one game apiece. None more impressive, though, than Austin Matthews scoring in the third period, having another three-point game as he scores his first postseason goal in six games, or I guess in seven, because he didn't score in the five games, didn't score in game one of the Bruins series. Yeah, we know he's capable of taking over a postseason game, any game. It's a good reminder, though. Oh. And I raised it in our conversation with Damian Cox yesterday that, like, the longer this goes, like, how much more do the crosshairs get trained towards him? It's a good reminder.
Yeah.
To reset it with one of the best games anyone's had in this postseason so far. Yesterday, when the Toronto Maple Leafs needed it most.
It's exactly what you want. It is the put the team on your back performance that you want from your best players. If the guy is an MVP, and he won't be this year, you know, whether he should or not, that's fine, but he won't be this year. But he has a Hart Trophy for a reason. He had 69 tucks this year for a reason, and he's the heartbeat of this team for a reason. And it's that. He's capable of so much. He can do it in any way you want. We talked about the physical stuff that's been more apparent there, punctuating at home with the goal in the biggest spot. And, you know, again, that is just such a flashpoint moment in the game. And can you know, I talk a lot about confidence. Can you imagine how infallible Allmark would feel, or unbeatable Allmark would feel, if it's Austin Matthews time and space in alone, and even he can't. Now, the weird thing is that Matthews is, like, he's bad at shootouts, breakaways is not where he does his damage, so that actually isn't, like, if you would have told Austin Matthews you could just freeze the game and put yourself in any spot to score, I actually don't know that would be it, but him coming through in that spot, it's massive. It is, if you think he is going to do, like, in terms of talent, he is the greatest Leaf of all time. But in order to stamp it home and become it, you have to have moments like that. And that was, you hope, you know, one of the building blocks of what ultimately becomes, like, a big totem pole of Matthews playoff moments. But you needed one like that. And boy, last night was in spades.
Yeah, it's game two of a first round postseason series. And he's had big postseason goals. He scored in game six last year before John Tavares scored in overtime to hand the Leafs their first postseason victory in a couple of decades. So, yeah, he's had big moments, but, yeah, that felt extra weighty for him. And, again, doing work in the faceoff dot. Yeah, it's just an all-around incredible, incredible performance by that line, and the chemistry continuing to build between he and Max Domi, who feeds him the incredible alley-oop feed from his own blue line.
Who do we think that was? I saw a lot of, like, you know, Max Domi with the stretch pass. It's like Matthews running a post route. That was, you know, immediately I went, like, Patrick Mahomes, because he is the quarterback of the moment. I was really more Josh Allen, just beautifully dropping that thing in the breadbasket over top. That was, like, we talk about the play Matthews made to catch it. That was he could not have thrown that any better in a perfect spot. That was
onside.
That was onside, throwing it to, again, like, if we're doing the quarterback thing, that was putting the ball on the outside where only your receiver can get it. It was a remarkable play by Domi.
Who's more offended? Leafs fans or Bills fans, though, too, because it's like, yeah, oh, hey, like Bills have won some postseason games, but I think there's actually a parallel between the two franchises.
There was a whole thing this year where the Leafs, like Marner and a few guys, got welcomed onto the Bills sideline, and then the Sabres players got all pissy about it. They're like, hey, bitter rival. And they're like, okay, fine, you can come too. So, yeah, there's a kinship there for sure.
Anyways, incredible, incredible feed from Max Domi. And, yeah, rightly, that line's not getting broken up. I mean, the reason you might do it now is not because you're looking to get the best out of Austin Matthews or you're trying to create the best first line. It's like, what the hell's going on in Mitch Marner right now?
Yeah, what is going on? Just one last thing on the first line. I know I already mentioned it, but it has to be said again. It's awesome that Max Domi and Ty Domi are the first father-son duo to ever score a postseason goal as Leafs. It doesn't make any sense, but that feels very fitting. It's just, that's a perfect stat, tying generations together. All right, in terms of that second line.
Here, let me give you the gory numbers.
Oh, God.
Okay,
outscored. I'm in a good mood. Why would you do this to me?
Outscored on 5-on-5, 1-0. The goal being the one at the end, in the dying seconds of the first period, where all you're trying to do is just get yourself to the intermission, dropping a puck with like 20 seconds left, and they give up a goal with under 10 seconds left, with people scrambling around all over the place.
Fire drill.
Outshot attempted 5-on-5, 9-4. And this one, like, take it for what it's worth, expected goals for percentage, which is supposed to take into account quality of shot. Mm-hmm. This is at 5-on-5. They had 12% of the expected goals at 5-on-5. Over the course of the hockey game, Matthew Nyes, John Tavares, Mitch Marner.
Yeah, it's not what you want. That is obviously the understatement of the century. Matthew Nyes is a guy who you asked me, I actually think he was the first name I mentioned on yesterday's show because you wanted to ask me if I saw anything good. I love Nyes' game in game one. I barely noticed him last night other than when his stick exploded on that chance right after Matthew scored, and you could have gone up by a couple there. That's obviously not his fault that his stick explodes, but it is his fault that that's the one moment I kind of noticed him in the game, you know, and to put it on Matthew Nyes is not what I'm trying to do here, but he was the guy who popped the most from that line in the first game, and you needed him to be that.
Well, he's the only guy that can move, right? Like, you need, I guess, your highly paid forwards and Tavares and Marner together, and you're hoping that they can rekindle the thing that they generated years ago when Tavares first signed as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think you're sticking those two together, especially with no Nylander, unless you're doing some bizarro lineup. So what do you do? Like, do you try somebody else on the left side? Like, how do you change the narrative of that being the one line that is like been egregiously, egregiously bad?
Yeah, the simple thing to do is, and, you know, there are two guys who make the money on that line in Tavares and Marner, is just challenge them to be better. Tavares, I think there are questions about how effective he can be. I mean, you know, we've all said still point per game John Tavares until this year when he had 65 points in just a little less, I think, than 80 games or 81 or whatever it was he ended up playing. So Tavares, we understand the limitations that there are on his game. Transition, not the spot for him. He struggles occasionally at picking up his man in the defensive zone. Once he's in position, he's great. He wins his battles, but it's the positioning of it. So
if pushback after being hit by David Pastrnak at the beginning of the game, too.
God, I did not realize that was Pasta who hit him the first time. I saw him, Tavares, get killed, and then to see him go right back at him, that was awesome. That's just good playoff hockey. Also, I think that part of David Pastrnak, we kind of underrate. There's a little more of that in there. That doesn't exist with David Pastrnak in January. We talk about flipping a switch. He is a guy who's able.
No, I know. We try to do the comparison between Pastrnak and Nylander, and then it's like the one is like 60 goals, and two, it's like, William Nylander's not laying the body.
Well, where is he?
We'll get to that. That's the next topic.
I know. So just looking at that line, let's just look at all three pillars of it. Matthew Nyes is a rookie who has high expectations, and you can certainly put some blame on him if he's not carrying his share of the load, but he's not supposed to be the one driving that line. John Tavares, and, you know, I know we're talking about 5-on-5 here. He scored last night on the power play, the thing we've been dying this team to do. And that doesn't paper over the other 58 minutes of the game, but it certainly helps get you a check mark in the ledger. Mitch Marner is the guy who's in the peak of his powers on that line. He's supposed to be driving the bus. He is a creator. During Tavares' 47-goal season, I still have PTSD from Doug McClain going, oh, there's that Marner point. There it is, the Marner point. Had to get credit for everything, and rightfully so. When he is at his best, he is an engine like no other in this league. You haven't seen it through the first two games. And this isn't, look, nicked up, banged up, sure, fine. He had his break during the season. He had the high ankle sprain. If anybody should be fresh on this team right now, it should be him. And who knows what anybody's dealing with. But if he can play, we can talk about it. So, yeah, I don't know how you can look at it. And this isn't to say he's done, he can't get it back. No, he could easily find it tomorrow night at home. And it's Marner magic and he's cooking. But you got to see it. And you just haven't through the first two games of this series.
It's pretty unbelievable. Maple Leafs find themselves in a 1-1 series without William Nylander and with Mitch Marner essentially non-existent through the first two games of this series. I mean, if you were going to be optimistic about it, you would say this is a guy that in postseasons past has talked about, hey, you know, I just didn't start on time in the series at the end of the series when he, you know, starts to pick it up a little bit, then maybe that is coming. Maybe that this is just an adjustment period for him, but it's been noticeable how not noticeable he's been through the first 60 minutes of these two hockey games.
Well, and the, you know, game six and sevens have been big bugaboos for him too, though. So it's like, what are we trying to do? Find this sweet. It's like,
games three, four, and five.
Oh, baby, that's his time. Like, what are we doing here? And, you know, this goes back to, I think, you know, Matthews didn't need that moment. I believe Matthews' self-confidence exists. And I mean, part of it is the fact that he scored 69 goals. He should be feeling good. No one on this team needs a big moment more than Mitch Marner. And that doesn't mean he needs to have the breakaway goal that seals the game, but you need to have a couple of these Marner magic shifts, and you just haven't seen any of them.
Unbelievable for a guy that grew up in this market and probably has an incredible affinity. I guess he's too young to really, really remember the Darcy Tucker, like the Ty Domies of the world, and the Matt Sundins, like that. He wouldn't have institutional knowledge of what that means, and like just even if you're not capable maybe of being your best offensive self, just throwing yourself in harm's way. We've seen him block shots before, and again, like going back to the first Bruins series.
Well, man, I don't think this is I think the thing that is so frustrating with Marner is that, and, you know, this is unfair when we do it to Nylander at times, but unlike with Nylander, where you can do the, do you even care? What's the body language look like? No, we know he cares.
Yeah.
Like, he's diving to try to break up the Pastrnak shot that he was out of defensive play. And again, that's not, he's like the third guy to blame on that. It's like we can have conversations, or fourth maybe, I don't know. There's plenty of blame to go around on that goal. So I don't think I think that is the most frustrating part about Marner. It is not an effort thing. It's not that he doesn't, you know, it's not a give a crap-o-meter problem with him. I think it's the exact opposite. Cares too much. And, you know, if you look at the two guys, Tavares is this too. It's like they still call him Pajama Boy on the island. But if you look at the two guys who are most kind of like born and bred to be Leafs on this team, one guy's Mitch Marner, who thinks about what it means and remembers being a kid and thinking about it. The other guy lived it. He's sitting in the dressing room with Matt, with you know, all those guys you talked about. He's sitting in the dressing room with them. And the other part that this has to be said as well is that Max Domi ain't Mitch Marner. So he has to have some of that to him. Now, I think if Max Domi was a 100-point guy, he would still have that element to him. I don't think you can strip that out of what exists. But I also don't think it's fair to ask Mitch Marner to be Darcy Tucker. But it is fair to ask him. No, but it's fair to ask him to be Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
Go be the special offensive player you're supposed to be.
If you're not going to be that, though, bring something. Yep. Do something. Because there's nothing happening right now. Still nothing happening for William Nylander, who skated before the game yesterday again. So we've seen him on the ice now twice. Once in the off day before game two and once in the morning skate before game two on game day. This from Luke Fox. The star winger appeared to be laboring through his reps and was wearing what looked like additional back support under his sweater. Guy's wearing a back brace? I mean, that's...
What's going on?
Okay, so back support. This is Luke speculating, but, you know, with every little thing that somebody in the know, like Luke Fox, is writing. You can assume that there's some informed speculation there.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you know, Luke Fox has a thought, and I don't think every single one of them makes it into his piece.
Right.
Right.
That one did.
Yeah.
I mean, that, again, would make some sense if we're, and we're allowed to do this because the Maple Leafs give us, like, precious little on what's happening with William Nylander. If the idea is, like, William Nylander slept incorrectly or woke up one day with a bad back.
Seems to be some a lot of plain theorizing going on.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, I just saw, like, Kipper and Bourne were talking about this yesterday, the idea if you potentially take off right after a game, like, just, like, your body is your body's still in a state of, not flux, but it's like you're still kind of cooling down. I don't know, the world's like least professional athlete here. It's like you're de-lumbering yourself.
You're de-lumbering.
No, but basically it's like, you're not off on a plane. It could be a kajillion dollar, like those, the Air Emirates planes or whatever, where you basically have like an apartment you fly in, but it's still sleeping on a plane. Like, it's like that seems to be a bit of a popular theory going on. I don't know.
He did bunch when he played every single regular season game. Quite a thing for that to happen.
I told you, this is just a new leaf wrinkle. Like, the hockey gods, they thought they were all out of everything. They're like, surely we've used everything in the pantry to throw at the Leafs, right? Oh, what's that? What's that in the back?
Yeah.
No, next to the eye of Newt. William Nylander, mysterious injury. Yeah, throw that in there.
Yeah, it's very strange. So, like, on the one hand, you can be bullish that, hey, he's on the ice. He's skating physically.
Did that make you feel bullish?
I mean, not when you're talking about a guy wearing a back brace or,
you saw it. I mean, it's so hard to, because, again, this is a Nylander problem, that when you see him kind of, like, moving around the ice gingerly, have you seen Nylander dicking around the beginning of practice? It kind of looks like this when he's just like, here, let me reach for this puck here. I was sitting there watching it yesterday being like, oh, yeah, this is the world's greatest possum, and he's going to play. And obviously that didn't happen. Now, I cannot remember a story like this. And there have been guys injured in the playoffs. And, you know, it was Gord, I think, who brought it up with us yesterday, like Sundin.
Mm-hmm.
That happens in the playoffs where we all would say, oh, okay.
Yeah.
The guy's been playing playoff hockey for 3 weeks. Obviously, he's dinged up and can't go. He just played the Lightning in a game that didn't matter a lick. It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, it should be stated, each and every victory that the Maple Leafs acquire, it is tamping down the pressure for him to return. And if,
like, how are they getting him back here?
God forbid you, like, win this series quickly and give him an incredible opportunity to rest up for a second round. But yeah, that's if you're looking for extra motivation for the Maple Leafs to win postseason hockey games, and you don't really need it.
Yeah, no, I think there's plenty there. But, like, are they gonna put him in like a hyperbaric chamber and ship him here? Like, how did he get back?
Right, if it's
how
a plane thing?
Who knows if it's a plane thing? But if it is, let's forget that for a second. Just a back thing.
Mm.
Like, what? Like, how's he getting back if that's an issue? I don't know. It's all, this is as strange a Leafs playoff wrinkle as I can remember.
Yeah, and I wish I had more information. All I have is the reporters who continue to say, doesn't look good, like, might be wearing a back brace. But he is skating. I don't know. Anyways, elsewhere around the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah, where do you want to start? Because there's, like, man, Stanley Cup, first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs is amazing.
And Isles Canes.
Islanders blew 3-0 lead. Here's the final, just like all strengths shot attempt totals.
What do you got?
Okay. Carolina Hurricanes 110, New York Islanders 28 shot attempts. As they take the lead with a couple of goals 9 seconds apart in the third period, they take a 2-0 series lead on a team that they're clearly better than, but, like, the Islanders have had opportunities in both games to steal victories from the Hurricanes, and now they head back to the island down 2-0.
Heading into last night's game, the Islanders were 81-0 all time when leading by 3 goals in the playoffs. Whoops, that's no longer the case. There were 16 penalties handed out in the final minute of that game. Mm-hmm. As Jake Guentzel was depositing the empty netter, somebody on the Isles went, I guess not full Morgan Riley because it was just slashes on the wrist as opposed to a cross check to the head. Mm-hmm. But they took exception to that. There was many a hootenanny. Matt Martin got kicked out. That was the, if you were an Islanders fan, that is as ugly a feeling as possible. You were stealing the game. The Canes charge back. They tie it up. They take the lead, and they score the empty netter all within a matter of a minute or so. Mm-hmm. It was a jarring, jarring finish to that game. And again, getting to just bask in the afterglow of that after the Leafs had won, oh, mm-hmm. wonderful, wonderful stuff.
Yeah, tough one from Patrick Waugh, who gets that Islanders team in the postseason. After an uneven finish.
Should have strapped on the pads for the last minute there. Maybe it changes things.
Yeah, that was rough. And Freddie Anderson's final line score doesn't look so great, allowing 3 goals on 12 shots. But whatever. W, also next to his name. The Oilers take absolute care of the Kings. I mean, mm-hmm. started that game like a house on fire.
Yeah.
And the Kings are going to do their best, like, 90s Devils impression, mm-hmm. where they send no forechecking pressure. It doesn't matter. Like, yeah. It's just, man, that... I don't think this thing's going 7 like we've seen in previous series between these two. Oilers just look far and away the more talented team.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when your entire division isn't made up of cup contenders and you can actually have a team that you're supposed to play in the first round of the playoffs when you finish in the middle-ish part of your conference. Not taking anything away from the Oilers. They were awesome there. The McDavid spinorama, they should have just... I actually think the commissioner should have came in and made them shake hands. Right then and there. Like the second McDavid burned wide on, I think it was Anderson there, and then find Zach Hyman with a spinning backhand shot, they should have just had, it actually shouldn't have been the commissioner, it should have been Daryl Sutter, because he had the great line about a waste of 8 days or whatever it was. So yeah, that's going to be a very short series, but I mean, man, we are blessed to get McDavid. Like, obviously I just wish he was in Toronto and playing at 7 o'clock, yada, yada. But the fact that it's Matthews, McDavid, every 7 and 10 o'clock for every other night for the next couple weeks here, hopefully.
Yeah, good little playoff debut for Zach Hyman with the hat trick and Connor McDavid, the 5-assist game. Also, pretty good debut for Mark Stone.
What? He played? I thought he was dead.
I mean, this is a tough one because he factually had a lacerated spleen.
Yeah.
Like a spleen that was, I mean, you just didn't make it up.
No, certainly not.
And they were not life and death to make the playoffs, but it wasn't guaranteed. The Golden Knights. He missed 26 games. But yeah, plays a million minutes and scores in game one of the postseason. It does stand out. It does make you scratch your head just a little bit.
My head's bleeding. I've been scratching it so much, unfortunately. Look, like, we all know what the deal is here. You can't do the thing where you're like, oh, get an independent doctor to look at him. You know what the independent doctor would say? No more Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah. None of these guys should be playing is what that independent
doctor. Bed rest for all of them.
Everybody go lie in a bed. It'll be like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory at the beginning. The whole family, just get in the bed there. Yeah, it is. It's frustrating. You hate it. I do love, especially because it has no effect on me. I shouldn't say that. I did place a future on the Golden Knights, so I guess that has a good effect on me. But I do love that the hockey god said, you know what, you're going to score tonight. You're getting the first goal of this thing, Mark Stone. Let's get everybody off all hot and frothing at the mouth. I loved it.
Salary cap is what, just north of $80 million?
Yeah.
The Golden Knights icing a roster that was being paid north of $94 million
yesterday. I am just putting in a request. I would like John Tavares to go to Club Med in February next year come back in April.
Yeah, the salary cap is $83.5 million.
Sorry, God, they're $2 million closer to it. How dare you?
Anywho.
But that's like, I'm mostly joking, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You imagine what that would have opened up for the Leafs? I mean, we know they had no second round picks to trade, so they couldn't have possibly have done anything, but
yeah. Maybe that's a next season thing.
I think it is.
We'll see. All right, when we come back, all right, fingers crossed, the alarm has gone off for our next guest.
Oh, if it was golf, he'd be up. We know that.
Sam McKee of Real Kipper and Bourne and Leafs Talk. Next, the Fan Morning Show continues. Ben Annis, Brent Gunning, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Big guests and bigger opinions on everything happening in Leafsland. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be right back.
Sportsnet 590, the Fan, Ben Ennis, Brent Gunning. And up until about 15 seconds ago, I wasn't 100% sure that our next guest heard his alarm go off this morning. But he is there. Wow. He's well-rested, feeling good, I imagine. Sam McKee, real Kipper and born. Good morning to you, Samuel.
Wow, that's, you know, I get up for you guys all the time.
All the time.
That's crazy. One miss and you're calling me out? That's tough.
No,
that's
I didn't call you out. I said, well done. You're up.
No. Yeah, I get up. I've been getting up all season. God. I miss one show and you guys are crying about it. I can leave. Like, you guys can talk about yourself. You got lots to say.
Hey.
You got lots to say.
Sounds like somebody hasn't had his coffee yet.
No, that's that is just unacceptable, boys.
Hold on.
I'm offended.
Hold on. Stop being offended for 2 seconds and hold on. You be offended as you want at Ben Ennis, but you know your good friend Brent Gunning accepted the apology that you gave to me via text afterwards and moved
on. And both of you. And like, I apologize to both of you, producers. I apologize to our bosses. I've never felt more guilty about anything. I did. I came in Fabro.
Not necessary.
Well, yeah. Well, now you're calling me out in the air because I miss one hit when I say sure thing to every producer 20 seconds after I get texted.
This is getting way too real. I was just being folksy, you know?
I'm with McKee on this one. Poor guesting or hosting on your part. Not like a poor job of being a host, but unkind, McKee.
All right.
Yeah. You know, and I'm mad at you now because now we have this like awkward tenor to the interview. And I wanted to be happy and talk to the guy I texted a handshake emoji to after the final whistle last night. Like, I wanted to be in a good mood. And now we're all cranky and at each other's throats.
All right. Can we start over again? Can we start over again? All right, Austin Matthews, had a three-point game. He was in on all three goals. He scored. I mean, it's on the short list of the best moments of his entire career. He scored some big goals in postseason games. And like I said, he scored in game 6 against the Lightning. He didn't score the overtime winner, but he did score. It'd be nice if he scored in a game 7 at some point. But yeah, he's had some incredible, incredible moments. My kid got to stay up a little later. I told him he wasn't staying up for overtime, so he was like doubly excited that happened, and we got a little high five action. That's on the short list of Austin Matthews moments.
So what happened in game when they had was it four that had the big comeback?
Yeah, against the Blue Jackets. I mentioned that he was.
Not even the Blue Jackets. The one against Tampa. Didn't he score like when they were down 4-1? Didn't he score a couple times in that? I can't remember.
He
that was only last year.
5 goals in the 6-game series.
Yeah, and he scored the overtime winner.
He had two goals. He had 2 goals in the 5-4 OT win, which I think was game 4 of that series.
Yeah. So he's had some great playoff moments, clearly. They haven't been in huge stakes games in the second round, obviously. But yeah, I think last night, the thing that's huge about it for me is that it was, you know, he was playing really well last night. And I thought that he was just his dominant self. But you kind of had to get the lid off this thing. You know, it had been, I think that was it, 7 straight playoff games without a goal if he didn't score last night.
Yeah.
We're talking about the way the end of the season, you know, how it finished with the dog and pony show chasing 70 and how ugly that was and how like what a sideshow that was and how they were playing poorly. And if we had gone through all last night without Marner or Matthews scoring a goal, it would have just been a tidal wave of takes coming into game 3 on home ice when they're coming home. It just felt like such a lid lifter for the series and for him in general. And now you're having the best possible version of Austin Matthews coming home for a game where it's like you actually have an advantage now in this series. To me, it's an incredible moment, clearly. But what it means for him going forward in this series feels like a weight's off of his shoulders, and he might be ready to truly, truly dominate the Bruins in the next couple games. He was unbelievable last night, and that was just a moment to kind of punctuate it.
Well, and you're right to point out how different the conversation is if he doesn't score there. Like, if the game plays out the exact same way and the Bruins come back and get one after Matthews doesn't convert there, we're sitting here talking about how, oh, it doesn't matter what goalie they throw in, both of them are unbeatable, Matthews with clean look. And you're right, like, we would have had to have the conversation about his playoff goal drought and where it would be at, but now we don't. And it was just man among boys stuff from him last night, and quite honestly, that's what it's supposed to look like. Like, I don't say this to say, all right, there's the floor of what we expect from you now, but look at the other centers in this series. Like, this is what it's supposed to look like when you have a guy at the peak of his powers. And, you know, not that I completely expected anything different, but it just felt like you needed a, forget the goal for a second, you just needed the performance like him, like that from him early on to just set the tone that he is the best player in this series far and away.
Absolutely. And outside of the goal, I thought the physicality last night was excellent. Defensive work as usual, excellent. Like it's an all world game from they needed it really bad last night. You can't go down 2-0 and their best player, one of the best players in the world, put the team on his back, scores a massive goal and away we go. Like it's just, that's what happens when you have a guy like Austin Matthews, and I'm glad he plays for the Leafs. Enjoyed it.
Yeah. Great Selly too. Like it's simple, right? It's a signature one now. I very much enjoy it, right? Like it, to have a clean Selly like that after a clean goal like that, and that would be
Man knows how to celebrate a goal. He's got a bit of practice.
So the scoreline didn't play out the same way game two did last season against the Tampa Bay Lightning, but there's some of the narrative that's playing out the same way, right? Samsonov pulled factually in game one against the Lightning after 40 minutes in a 7-3 loss, and they bounced back with a 7-2 win in game two against the Lightning. But after getting pulled in game one, the rest of the series, Samsonov had a .919 save percentage. He allows the couple yesterday, one on the power play, but I mean, he had some massive, hugely important saves. One on Marchand at the end of the game. I mean, where is your Samsonov confidence?
I think it's where it's always is. You know, I trust him, I guess. I don't know. Like, I don't think either of the goalies are going to give you any hope. So you're just going into the game kind of hoping this is a good Samsonov night, and last night was. I think that it's kind of lost on people, and myself included, when I am very critical of him, that he is the only goalie that's ever led them past the first round since I was in high school. So he did have some great moments last year. I think a game six where he was unbelievable to get them to overtime, and they end up winning. So I think you're going to go through the series where he's going to have some not so great games, like maybe on Saturday night. And he's going to have some really great games like he did last night. And you just hope that he puts together a couple in a row so that they can get a series lead in this, baby. Like, listen, they had a really good goalie at the other end in Allmark. They didn't start Swayman or whatever, but it's not like Allmark was the reason or close to the reason they lost. He was
Allmark
excellent.
Was awesome, yeah.
And they needed everything from Samsonov, and he was the better goalie in the game. And if you're going to win the series against the Boston Bruins, you're going to need Samsonov to be the better goalie in the game multiple times, and he was last night. And yeah, I'm never going to say my confidence level is really high in him. I don't think it'll ever be like I trust him as a shutdown, lockdown goalie, but he's pretty good and can play pretty good, so that's where I'm at with him. I don't know. Are you fully trusting him every night?
No, here's where I'm at with him is when he gets hot, I always say I trust him while he's hot. Like, I don't ever expect
it
to continue, but it's like, I'm waiting. I'm like a flat earther riding a bike. Yeah. I'm like just waiting for it to end. It's like, okay, I could see a little bit in front of me, but at any moment, I could just fall clean off the face of the earth.
To me, there's institutional knowledge. Like, yeah, to see him win a postseason game and be in a tight game, in a tie game in the third period, and then to protect a one-goal lead with under 10 minutes to go and kill off the penalty. And the Leafs penalty killers did a great job on that penalty kill as well. But yeah, there's, to me, that's like, oh, a reminder to everybody, including him, that yeah, he did the damn thing. And every time he's finished a series, he's won it wearing a Maple Leaf sweater. So yeah, it was hugely important for me.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. I wanna go to Marner here. I feel like the goaltending. I think like we're all of the same opinion that yeah, obviously you go back to Samsonov and like it's his net now until he falters, and then you go to Wall and we'll see what happens there. The Marner of it all. Okay, like this isn't alarm bells ringing. This isn't what's going on, but
it's not.
Well, it's. I guess we're pretty close to it. They won a game last night is the only reason why the alarm bells aren't ringing, I guess is what I'm saying here. He would be the guy that we'd all be pretty squarely looking at if they hadn't won that game. But where are you at with him? What do you think is the reason he's struggling in the way he is? I mean, Tavares finds a way on the power play last night, and it's not like he was tremendous at 5-on-5, but he found a way on the power play. Matthew Nyes is a rookie. You know, we can expect things of him, but he's not supposed to be the reason that line goes. It's supposed to be for Marner. He's supposed to be the guy driving that line, and he's just not. And I think the biggest worry for me is Mitch Marner capable of more? I know he is. The worry for me is, do things start to spiral in a negative way on him, given the way the playoffs have started for him.
Yeah, that's the most concerning part, is that you would have liked one to go early here, where he starts to not think about everything. And you think last night specifically, Tavares gets off to Schneid, scores a huge goal for them on the power play. Matthews clearly scores a huge goal for them. Domi scores a goal for them, has an assist. The guy that has taken his spot on the top line and has played excellent through two games outside of a penalty that, boy, Sheldon Keefe really hated. Called him out like 17 times in the postgame for it. Don't you dare show passion, Domi. Anyways.
Did he have that much to say about all those puck over the glass penalties? Or
no,
I don't know, he didn't.
I think that there's a chance here that if it doesn't go early, that it's going to all become about Marner. It's going to all become about Marner, and Marner's going to be the focal point if he doesn't get going here. Like, if we go into game three and he doesn't get another point, or it's not as great, he's not as great as he's been, or whatever, it's going to be another talking point. It's going to be another night, and you're just going to add it onto the ledger of bad playoff performances by Marner, and the whole fan base is going to say, trade him. You can't play him in the playoffs. He knows it. I think he knows it better than anyone, and that's probably what's leading to this. He's gripping the stick too tight, boys. He's worried about it. He's just not playing his own game. He's not himself. He fights it in the playoffs because he knows what the reputation is. So you need it to kind of flip here in a hurry, or else it's going to snowball, because you need it to flip. You need to be better. He knows it. We all know it. Everyone knows it. He's just got to be better.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to think this way about an $11 million player. But like, is there anything you can do to put him in a better spot? Like, I don't want to touch that top line the way it's looked. but yeah,
you can't touch the top.
So, I mean, is it like moving Matthew Nyes off the left side of that line? Is there something you can do to jumpstart Mitch Marner?
The Boston Bruins maybe moving Matthew Nyes off that line. Good Lord, how many times did he get smoked last night? Holy. It was three separate times. It's got absolutely buried. I don't know. I don't think you do anything. I think you say, hey, man, you're one of the best players in this team. Play like that. I think it's time. I think it's time for you to play like one of the best players in the team. The line hasn't been good through two games. I think they've probably been statistically, I don't know what the fancy numbers are, but
horrifying. Horrifying. Yesterday they were horrifying. 12% of expected goals for at 5-on-5.
Yeah, then okay. So, you know, where eye test and dorks meet is that stat. They have not looked good to me through two games. And they've been the least worst line to me through two games. And one of your highest paid guys is playing on that line. It's not great. So maybe once, if Nylander comes back in game three, and then you put him there, or you want to spread out the three lines or whatever. But to me, the third line has been able to handle themselves pretty well, especially last night with Jankrok on it. It does give you a real chance to load up that second line if Nylander's back. And, you know, considering what the Boston Bruins forward depth looks like and how they're, you know, the talent up front or lack thereof, if you can have that, those two top two lines, you may be really onto something here. But I guess that's the answer, is if Willie comes back on Wednesday night, you put him on that line and you hope that that really gets him going.
Yeah, the $22 million line with Tavares, Marner, and then Nyes making no money, that's not enough. You need the $34 million line.
You need all the money.
With the $5 million back brace that William Nylander's wearing.
Allegedly wearing, potentially a practice. Yeah, I want to talk about Nylander with you in a sec. You mentioned Domi there, and we're getting a little negative here, and rightfully so. Like, there are things to pick at. But so Domi scores that goal last night. It's 9 seconds after Geeky scores, and you know, I just want to do like a little bit of like quick, like, you know, we're breaking down the game, but I do want to do some like fan stuff with you here, McKee. What is there a certain thing about Domi? Like, we've all done the thing of like, these guys are all younger than us, you can't cheer like you once did, but does Domi almost feel like apart from that because of the tie lineage? Like, I'm not gonna sit here wearing like a Max Domi jersey or anything, but when I saw him score, I did have this feel like, oh, that is like old school Leafs of yesteryear. I don't know if it's just like the lineage to his dad or whatever, but I don't know. It was something about that goal going in that I felt like I'm allowed to cheer for him the way I cheered for like his dad and Matt's and all those guys. I don't know if it's that simple for you or you feel the same way, but it's just when he scores, and I guess it's just the emotion he plays with, but it does generate more emotion for me than obviously Matthew scores the big one last night, but Max is just able to tap into this like reservoir and emotion, I feel like, for a lot of people in the fan base.
Yeah, I think there's just, it's very obvious. His dad was a legendary Leaf. You know, you go down to the, you go down to Scotiabank Arena any given night, you're going to see a scary amount of Domi jerseys. He's a very popular figure here in Toronto, and that is his son. And his son is a good player and is playing with the best players in the Leafs and scored a massive playoff goal. I think it's just, I think for people of our vintage, it's kind of a callback to the era when we truly, truly loved the Leafs, right? Like back in those days when you're, you know, in high school, when you've never cared more than you do. Like, it's just, that's when you care the most. And he was part of the team. And I think that's part of it. And here's the thing. He's played really well through two games. Massive goal for the Leafs last night. Like, I can't tell you how huge and important that was to get that right away. Mm-hmm. And he makes the Tom Brady pass to Matthews to get the winning goal. Yeah. He's been awesome. He's been passionate. And I love how he responded last night. You know, Keith calls him out in the media like 17 separate times, like I said, and he comes out and plays a totally clean game. Doesn't do one stupid thing and just produces on the score sheet, scores a massive goal, great assist. Awesome the whole night. It's just, he's been great and he's passionate, cares, gets it.
Yeah. Leafs did commit two stupid penalties in that game yesterday. None by Max Domi, but yeah, Jake McCabe starts it off with a cross check, and the Bruins score immediately after David Camp forgets what to do with a hockey puck. And then, the Bertuzzi penalty at the end of the game is the Leafs kill it off. But they also score on the...
How did Marchand recover from that? That's a miracle of modern science.
Yeah. No doubt. There's
dumb penalty, though.
Yeah.
Don't take anything away from how stupid it is. Everyone's staring right at that scrum, and you come through it and slash a guy in the leg. Can't have it. Can't have it.
No, it's like really good they reward diving like that as well, though. Like, both things can be true. Uh-huh. Like, it's like, yeah, dumb, really, really dumb. And it's like, great that the big diver took a big dive right in front of the refs. And they said, here you go. Right after he showed them the wrist, right after he got the slashing penalty the game before. It's really great.
Brad Marchand, you got to be smart.
I know.
You got to expect that.
You do have to be smart. Yeah. But it's like, they can also, like, we all know it's Brad Marchand and we've all watched hockey. They can know it too.
Yeah.
You guys have been talking refs. I can tell.
No, we actually haven't. I've been so good. I did that at the very beginning of the show. It was the first time it brought up
you
since.
Guys, Gunner is like edging the talk refs. It's like his number one thing.
I am ready to do it this series. I've been waiting.
Holy cow.
All I care about is the refs.
I mean, if we're going to talk NBA playoffs, we'd be talking refs. But no, we're talking hockey. So yeah, we're not talking refs. I do want to, before we let you go, special teams. I mean, there was no more pressure than there was on the power play that John Tavares scores, and they score twice on it, and only one counted, and then on the penalty kill. And I get it. They only kill off 50% of the penalties yesterday, but that one felt like it should count for like five. And then same with the power play. And it wasn't, they weren't snapping it around like the Bruins were on their first power play goal to open up the scoring. But man, maybe there's reason to believe that with Tyler Bertuzzi on PP1 that they can find some success. I mean, more than they've had, which is a low bar, I know.
I don't know if there's any Leaf fan that was watching last night or listening right now that thought the Leafs were killing off that penalty at the end of the game.
No, just, 100% no.
I mean, I was sitting with Allie and I was like, they're tying this game. There is no question they're tying this game. They're like, absolutely tying it. And I thought it was a solid kill. A couple great saves from Samsonov. They kept the puck out of the defensive zone for the most part. That was clutch. And when it comes down to it, in the playoffs, it's not about the percentage. It's not about, you know, oh my God, you're the worst in the league. You're thinking about it all the time. All that stuff goes away. You just need, at that point of the game, you just can't let the Boston Bruins score. You got to kill a penalty. You got to bear down, and they did it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the power play, I do worry way less about the power play. There's so much talent. Eventually, they're going to get hot. And I know it's been bad in years past, but they kind of got off the schneid with it last year where they were good in the first round. I'm not as worried about that as I am about the penalty kill. Especially against the Bruins, who I know weren't great all year on the on the power play, but they look pretty good in the first couple games on it. So I do think the power play will come around. I like Bertuzzi up there. Can we have a 30-for-30 on the decision to put Kalle Yarncroc in his first hockey game since I don't know when on the top power play unit, or Tyler Bertuzzi, who got like 6 points in the power play last year,
yes,
in the first round?
Of his 10,
that was a
yeah.
great decision there, Sheldon Keefe. Boy, oh boy. But yeah, it was good on it last night. I was as heartbroken as I've ever been when that high stick went into the net. And you thought that was kind of going to be a sign of things to come. But then the captain fires one home. So yeah, special teams looked better last night. Yeah. Need to build on that.
Yeah. I think that if you have a cool goal, it should count, even if it's a high stick.
And just to put in perspective why I was so
ornery about the refs. Somebody did just retweet the Brad Marchand sprawling video in front of my eyes. So I'm actively looking at it. So that's why I'm particularly ornery. But yeah, you know me, McKee. Yeah. I love you.
Sam, we all love you. I don't understand why anyone would ever wake up to do radio for free. So, like, yeah.
Now, you're coming back. Oh, look who's
I never left. I never left. Never left.
Remind me to be Mr. Perfect around Ben Ennis. We can never set an alarm for a PM and miss a hit. And I'll apologize to everyone in my life.
Oh, my God. I was trying to make it nice. I was trying to make it safe. Yeah, doubles makes it safe. Yeah.
Hey, you screwed up. No.
Yeah. You actually came at the guy with the guiltiest conscience in the world.
So that's why you're lashing out. You're just defensive. Defensive.
Oh, yeah. I have the most guilty conscience. Like, I will overthink things for the rest of my life.
You don't need to do that. It's fine.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Thanks, buddy. See ya.
What a difference 48 hours makes, boys.
Unbelievable. Sam McKee, Real Kipper and Bourne, and Leafs Top. Time now for the Wake and Rake, presented by Sports Interaction, your homegrown sportsbook, 19+. Bet responsibly. We got the Blue Jays trying to secure themselves of at least a series split tonight in Kansas City against the Royals. Kevin Gausman against Michael Wacha. And it is the Blue Jays favorite on the money line, minus 125. The Royals plus 105. The total is 8.5. So the Blue Jays trying to continue their run of incredible starting pitching.
Jays by a run and a half, plus 135. This team's winning. They're winners now. And the Royals, they stink. We talked about that to start the show. They're not very good. So, yeah, give me Jays by a run and a half, plus 135.
I actually like that a lot the Royals, I don't know if they stink, but they are certainly fraudulent as far as the record is concerned when you play the White Sox as many times as they had. And lastly, before they go, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to make you pick a side here, here is just like for your information purposes.
Thank you.
And the Bruins were massive favorites to win the series after game one and a 5-1 victory. Back to pretty close to a coin flip here is the Bruins slightly favored minus 115, the Maple Leafs minus 105 to win this series.
Yeah, you could not make me pick, so thank you for informing me. Good
day. You put a little cheese in the trap. You missed your boat if you're on the Bruins to win this series, I think is the only takeaway you can have from that.
Yes, that is that.
All right, that was the Wake and Rake, presented by Sports Interaction, your homegrown sportsbook, 19+, bet responsibly. You know who was critical of Mitch Marner after game one? Needed to see more from him? Jason Bukala. See what he thinks about Marner's performance after game two. He joins us next as the Fan Morning Show continues. Ben Ennis, Brent Gunning, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.